Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, hey, hey. I tried to do a little cabaret. You know, I don't know. Hey, it's Tiffany.
Hello, guys. Did you miss us? We were only gone for 1 week.
I know. But honestly, someone wrote something about they missed me singing. I don't know. I was like, oh, you're probably the only one. But did it's they, okay. Don't be a hater. You see how Mandy be hating about singing? Ooh, me and Mandy were trying to start the show for like 30 minutes. We were like lamenting over men and food and how they want you to make every sandwich because you have a special sandwich hand, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the tactic that I use so that my husband does the dishes. He'll like unload and load the dishwasher because he thinks I'm really bad at it. And I just, you know, let him, I might do a bad job on purpose just so he gets outraged enough to do it himself. No, but this whole thing where, like, I cook really good food. I mean, I like to think so, but I like to cook meals like, you know, meatballs or spaghetti or make chicken and vegetables and have it for the week. But he's just not from that leftover life like I am, raised by a single mom with four kids. Like, my mom would make one thing and we would just eat it until we were just so sick of it and it was all gone. But, you know, he's from a different household. He had, you know, a mom and an abuela making fresh meals for him every day. Doesn't really go for leftovers. Anyway, like, so I decided, forget it. I'm not going to cook these big meals because I just end up eating them myself for weeks at a time. And so I brought home some, like, bread, ham, and some damn cheese. And I put together a sandwich for him. And it was like I was just God's gift. I was just like this God. And I'm like, this is all it takes?
Yes.
Why have I tried so hard? And then also, if this is all it takes, why don't you make a damn ham sandwich?
Exactly.
For yourself. No,
because you have a special hand. I'm telling you, like, Superman does not that he doesn't cook, but he cooks like that man stuff. Like, he has this thing called turkey roni. And I was like, what? It's literally like, it's pasta. So it's almost like spaghetti, but ground turkey. And then, yeah, and then, like, I guess sometimes some veggies in it. I don't know. He's come up, but the it's like elbow macaroni. I don't know. It's a hot mess.
And so he just hamburger helper.
Yeah, to that extent. But, like, I guess he put it together himself. And you can't tell him. When I first met him, he would make a vat of turkey roni. And I'm like, what? And so much so that the neighborhood kids knew, Mr. Jerome made turkey roni. And we would have kids lined up. It's such like a kid meal, and I'm like, I mean, it doesn't taste bad, but it's not the kind of thing like you want to eat every day. But yeah, no, I felt really good because I was like, I made dinner tonight. I've not made dinner in honestly probably 2.5 weeks. We like not that we haven't eaten dinner. I just have not made dinner. So he was happy that I was like, he's like, oh, you were on your day today. I'm like, meanwhile, you didn't even hear about my day and all the things that I did for business, but because I've got baked chicken in the oven and some yellow rice from a box on the stove, I'm on my dean. So whatever.
Does he usually do the cooking, or what's y'all's dynamic? Because we eat separate meals most of the time. Because I will make a nice meal for myself. I'm trying to create a human person who's got brain cells. So I'm trying to eat all my veggies. And he's like having corn dogs 3 nights in a row.
No, we don't. So he's not. I mean, he'll cook sometimes. But honestly, we will like eat out or order a lot, which I never was that person. But because I just sometimes some days I just have so much to do. And I'm like,
of course, who has time to cook all day?
Exactly. So I'm trying to get better because it's not, obviously that's not ideal. So, but like sometimes I'll start and he'll finish. So like, he's like, even though I'm not like the greatest cook, I do season really well. So sometimes I'll season whatever thing we're having. And then when he comes home, he'll put it in the oven or whatever. So yeah, I'm trying to get better, but I'm also somebody who hates food shopping. So I'm always scrounging like, what can I make with?
I get a little salty about this whole thing because we've been arguing more about this whole, you know, there's days when I get home super late and I come home and there's been no thought about what I'm going to have for dinner. I'm literally like creating your future child. And you don't care what I have for dinner? Oh, babe, I just had some warmed up pizza or I stopped at, you know, Chipotle on the way home. I'm like, so what about me? Yes. And it's driving. And I'm like, for me, I care about what he eats. Like, I'm kind of turning into my dad, where my dad always asks, what'd you eat good today? And we'll tell him what we had for lunch. And I always check in on Enrique. I'm like, what'd you have for lunch? Okay, well, what do you want for, you know, I care about what he eats. And I feel like I'm turning kind of into like a naggy mom, because I'm like, where do you eat a vegetable in your day-to-day? Like, I never see you eat fruit. Do you like apples? I don't think I've seen you eat an apple in 7 or 8 years. But it doesn't, he's not doing that for me. And I'm like, I want someone to care about me, you know, what I eat. But then I talked to my therapist about it and she was all, well, you knew who he was when you married him. And she's like, well, if the best he can do is go to the, because he will go to the store. He will, you know, if I badger him enough. But he'll bring back like frozen things. He doesn't really know how to put a meal together, you know, and it'll be a lot of frozen pizzas and, oh my God, he discovered mini corn dogs and it's been mini corn dogs for a while, or like whatever, egg rolls, but he'll bring stuff back. And she was like, if that's all he does when you have the baby, he goes to the store and brings home frozen meals that you guys can heat up. You have to give him credit. And I'm like, that sounds very fair, but also not fair. Why doesn't he need to learn how to cook? I don't know. I'm struggling with it. I feel like maybe our listeners will have similar experiences, because it just feels like this old school gender dynamic that it's driving me a little crazy.
Yes. And so I will say Superman is pretty good at not holding me to that, except for when I guess it's gotten to the extreme where he's like, we have not had a meal in 3 weeks. And I'm like, well, bruh, before I got here, who's making food? Oh, you were. Let's see how we could go back to that. Although his food, like I said, is so bachelor that I'm like, I don't want it.
That's so. What I'm saying. If I let him cook, it's going to be frozen corn dogs. It has been. I can't be eating that way. Like, you know, he's not going to make me a kale salad or butternut squash soup. That's what I like to eat.
Oh, yeah, that's not happening. Girl, you got to let that go. That part, I'm like, oh, no, that's not
I don't want to let it go. I want it. I want it.
Speaking of which, how was the baby shower? It looks amazing.
Baby shower was epic. It was ridiculous. Baby shower was ridiculous. So if anyone who's listening who has a background, I don't know if it's like a particularly Dominican thing, but the baby showers I've been to from Enrique's side, the family, are always like at night. It's a big party. It's like basically kind of a wedding reception vibe. There's dancing, there's open bar, there's food. And so when I was sitting down to plan, not when I was sitting down to plan, but when my mom started asking about the baby shower, I immediately knew what I didn't want, which is like a really boring, I've been to way too many boring baby showers that are like on a Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4. And you have to sit there and watch, you know, watch someone open onesie after onesie after onesie for 2 hours straight. Maybe you play a game, like maybe you have mimosas, and it's just not that entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to spend money on that kind of experience for my friends. And so I was like, let me really embrace the Dominican side of my family. And so I had my mom and my sister, who were like two Midwestern white ladies at this point, like they really spearheaded it. But our Dominican, my husband's brother's fiance, Jamila, who's this angel from heaven, she's so helpful and so nice. And I was like, you need to be our Dominican ambassador and be sure that they shepherd them through as they plan this shower. And they did such an amazing job. It was in my husband's neighborhood, like blocks from where his family all lives, on Dykeman in Inwood, and in this nice restaurant. And they had, his brother got us a DJ. There was amazing music. The food was like all this Dominican food. There was open bar. I didn't open a single present. The aunties didn't like that part, but I didn't open a single present. It was beautiful. And the best part was at the end. So I haven't told you guys, but like a month or two ago, I was at my doctor. And we didn't want to know the gender. Like, I really didn't care, boy or girl, and I really love the idea of being surprised, at the birth. Like, having Enrique, run out to the waiting room and be like, it's a, boy or girl or whatever. But then my doctor blew it the other day, like about a month ago, just zoomed right in on the ultrasound. I don't have no idea why. I don't know how she forgot. I've been seeing her for nearly a year, and she was like, there's his little manhood. And
Oh.
I was like, looking at my son's penis right there on the screen.
And you're
So
like, what? I know you were like, wait, what?
it was so many emotions. I was like, I was honestly devastated. It was the hormones, but I was so sad. But anyway, the bright side was that we decided we were going to do a gender reveal for our moms at the end of the shower. So at the end of the shower, everyone had a great time when we brought out these confetti poppers and we announced. I told the story and then we asked the two moms, our moms, to come over. And they were just like shaking. They were like crying already. They were and these are two women who have been telling me it's a girl for months. Like, each of them has their own superstitions, and like, they were convinced it was a girl, so I knew it was going to be good. And we got this. We had this really special moment where we do the gender reveal, and it was just perfect, perfect, perfect. And
Were they excited when they found out it was a boy?
Well, his mom came o Enrique's mom came over and was like, "It's okay, it's a boy." Like, she was almost comforting because I think she really wanted a girl. Yeah, honestly, everyone was. I didn't expect the entire party. They just, like, everyone came and it was like one massive group hug. And it was, if I'm gonna do it, honestly, if I was gonna do a baby shower, this is exactly the way. Like, over
You
the
wanted it
top,
to be.
ridiculous. And I loved it. It was beautiful. And while I was having that epic moment, you, Miss Queen, were just hosting the party of your life over in
Yeah,
Newark. I
honestly,
was so
it was so
jealous.
awesome. Yes, at the Smith Mansion. No, it's not a mansion, but I had my 40th. Honestly, it's exactly what I wanted. I wanted the people that I loved and cared about there. If you know me, I'm not really one for the fuss, and but it was nice because Vonda, who did our reception, what we had at her restaurant. She's a friend of mine who shut down her restaurant for our reception. She catered, and when I tell you, the food was she put, I mean, she outdid herself. The lobster macaroni and cheese was out of this world, and it happened to be perfect weather. So she ordered, because Vonda doesn't just like cook food. When she caters, she does like the whole thing, presentation, decorations, all that kind of stuff. So she ordered what they call high hats or high tables, something like that, where it's like the tall kind of like tables with like seats around it. So I was like, are we gonna need it? Because our backyard is fully paved. Like, whoever lived there before put full pavers back there. And so we had four of them. And then Superman's sister like gave us like this, like, it's not a money pit. It's almost like a fire. It's not a pit because it's not
A
low, but
money
it's like
pit?
not a money pit. I meant to say a fire pit.
Oh.
She gave us like this
Okay.
fire pit thing, which I was
Oh,
fire.
nice.
So what, but it was like, so it was just so, the weather was perfect outside. She had food outside. We had a DJ in the basement so you could hear the music upstairs. Like, everyone was there. My aunts, my uncles, Jarrell's side of the family, like some Unicorn Squad members, team members came. It just was really, really nice. It was like, Tiffany, it's your life. Like, people from when I was like from high school came, folks from college. So it was just was a really good time. And I had a really good time. And honestly, I spent like the whole time giving tours of the house because everyone went. It was like a housewarming slash 40th birthday party. And yeah, it was an awesome time. And I just have to say, honestly, Jermaine and Rihanna Lewis from Remain Home, their Instagram is REHMAIN Home, Remain Home. They are absolutely amazing. They like what like so Jermaine is a project manager. And so my contractor was okay. But Jermaine really made sure he kept on track because it's like I felt like we built the house from the ground up darn near. And then Rihanna with the design, she went to Drexel. She's got her master's in design. And she didn't just help design like rooms or where things should be, but she went as far like planters. And this is a really nice like bookshelf that should be here. And then because they live around the corner from us, came and like hung things up the night before. We transformed like the whole house with hanging up anything that was left over. We stayed up till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning the night before getting the house ready for the party, and so did they. and they came over the next morning, the morning of the party, to help again. They are above and beyonders. They have become such great friends of ours. Yeah, they are amazing. I always tell people, and they're like, would you hire your contractor again? I'm like, maybe, but not without Remain Home. So, yeah, they are absolutely amazing for like it's a design. Stunning. Yeah, and it's just,
you got to use like a lot of it for the party too, which was, you know, I mean, that's the reason you buy a house, right? Is to entertain in it. So,
and I wanted, like, you know, I missed it because when I was in my when I lived in my condo was like a gathering spot for when I was single. Me and my girlfriends, we'd have girls' night in, and my sisters would come over all the time. So I missed. Our apartment was so small before when we were living in the halfway hood, and so now we've got this beautiful house where I just want people to come over, like Superman's siblings come over, my siblings come over, my niece, my nephew come over all the time. And I love it that we can have a house full of like family, friends, and love. And so, yeah, it was awesome. And I forgot to tell you, but you know, I went to go see the Harriet movie. So my friend Cynthia Erivo is in it. She is Harriet.
Yes.
And I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous. Because I was like, either way, I'm going to be like, it was great. So I was practicing my, it was great face, you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, it was great. It was really
I'm so
good.
Relieved.
Yes.
We didn't get her the $20 bill. Can we please not mess up her movie?
I know. But you know what? It was really good. It was touching. It was sad, but bigger than everything else. It was so inspiring and inspirational. I didn't leave feeling like 12 Years a Slave was amazing, but it also was devastating.
Oh my God.
Like I left
like weeks to recover.
What? Like, I'm still not recovered.
It ruined movies for a lot of people. Yes, like movies about slavery. Like people were like, that's the last one I'm ever going to see.
I'm not doing it. Yep. I was broken. Like I was hysterical in the movie theater, but this, I did not leave that way. I left feeling like I left the Beyonce concert. I was like, who won the world, girls? Like, I felt so empowered. Honestly, Mandy, I was like, what else can I do for my people? What can I do for women? How can I be better? Like, it was, and I love that feeling because it didn't sugarcoat slavery and all the horrific things that happened. But what it did was, through Harriet and her story, what it made you realize is that despite that, there is courage, there is strength, there is grace, there is, it just... She's Harriet Tubman, truly a superhero. Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't speak for everybody else, but I really enjoyed it. And from the vibe that I felt when the lights came on, everyone really enjoyed it. It didn't leave you feeling sad. It left you feeling like, what can I do?
That's all I wanted to hear, because I was trying to convince two of my friends who listened to the show, actually, to go, and they're both just like, no, we're not going. Look, we're done with slave movies. And I could tell from the previews it's much more than a slave movie. Like, first of all, in slave movies, typically they center around an African-American character. Yes, Lupita was one of the central figures in 12 Years a Slave, but it really was about Chiwetel Ejiofor's character, right? Mm-hmm. And it just feels like, and often you see, I don't know, you don't see, and even Black Panther, again, so many fabulous women, strong characters, but that was like a nice surprise. The real character was Black Panther. Anyway, so to have a movie focused on the female, like a female slave who came out, of that situation and went back, like to the courage to go back and bring people with you. I keep thinking about, Cynthia posted on Instagram that song that she wrote. Did she co-write it or something?
Yes. Stand Up. I tell you, at the end, the chills. I was like, this is my song. I told myself, I'm like, oh my God. It made me, I remember I used to like, kind of like funnily say, like whenever I used to do like an online class, that like, the reason why I teach so much when it comes to financial education, and the reason why I do so much for free, is that I remember distinctly like praying, quite honestly, that God, if you'll teach me, I promise I'll help others. And like I used to say, like I want to be the Harriet Tubman of financial education. But I mean, I say it tongue in cheek, but honestly, no, I do that. I feel like that as I get free, I can't be free if I'm not. If not, I'm not going back for other people. And so that's how the Budgetista was built, from that sentiment of going back and helping others. Someone helped me. And honestly, yeah, go see Harry. Honestly, I'm so inspired. I'm actually trying to figure out with the city. I want the budget needs to buy out a theater. It's like maybe like $1,500 ish. So I want to buy out a theater to maybe have like high school seniors, or I'm trying to figure out what group should, cause Newark has like a theater that Shaq owns. So I'm trying to think like what group to invite to see how many tickets it includes. Cause I know there's about 800 high school seniors in the city of Newark. So I don't know how big the theater, but that's what I want to do. I want to buy out a theater and invite like, you know, a specific group of probably students to go watch the Harriet movie. Yeah, that's how inspired I was. I was like, no, it needs to be seen that you are capable of so much more than you even know. And that if you're waiting to not be afraid to make a move, like you're going to have to move fearfully. Like that's what you really learn, that like, those people who make history happen, it's not because they were fearless. It's because they moved despite the fear. And so, yeah, go see that movie, child. Go see it.
November 1st, right?
Yep,
November 1st. This Friday? Okay, done. Dragon Huss Bay. Dragon Huss Bay. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Congrats to Cynthia. Love her. She crushed me in Color Purple. Oh, okay.
And she sings in the movie, too. So her voice, of course, is like an angel.
Oh,
so
she does. Oh, yes. She's so annoying and good. I'm really sorry for you being her friend. At least I could be a fan. I don't have to like, you know, whatever.
I know, right? I'm like, oh, just anywhere perfect, Cynthia. Of course, she's like in perfect shape.
And she's like British and has a beautiful accent.
Yeah.
Shall we get to some questions?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome questions today. Again, you guys can hit us up on the gram. We're at Brand Ambition Podcast on Instagram, or you can send us an email directly, brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is also out there. You can go to brandambitionpodcast.com and click Ask Us Anything to shoot us your questions. Let's take you guys with your car problems. We have to take this question because I feel like we get a lot of questions from people who are in car debt, auto debt, and we all know how I feel about it. I just think, auto debt's crushing people. Mm-hmm. But we're not here to judge. We are here to help. So let's take a question from Instagram user. We'll call her Portia. All right. She says, hey, ladies, I've gotten myself into a pickle. I have a new car that I knew when I bought it that I didn't really want to take on this financial burden. I did it anyway. I was so scared of getting a used lemon car that I went ahead and got a more expensive used one. Come December, this December, my credit will be 100 points higher than when I bought the car. So I plan to refinance it, but that's if I decide to keep it. I've been contemplating lately doing a voluntary repossession. I remember Tiffany said that Superman did a voluntary repo, so I want to know, does voluntary repo negatively impact your credit? And if so, for how long? So she's got this car that she can't afford. She could potentially refinance her auto loan because her credit has improved since she got it. But she's like, the car payments are so high that she's considering just giving it up altogether, Tiff. So,
yeah. What would you say? I will say that, I mean, well, here's one thing for sure. When your credit score will likely take a hit if you do a voluntary repossession. But bigger than that, if you're doing a voluntary repossession, you're still going to owe. So that was the hard part for Superman, is that he had to give the car back, but there was still a balance. So you're paying this balance, but you have no car. So you have to kind of mentally prepare for that fact, because let's just say the car was $50,000. And he, you know, sent it back, and they were like, we're going to give you, he ended up having a $5,000 balance, $45,000 for it. There was that $5,000 balance that he had to pay, because what he ended up doing was he took a loan from his credit union. So that way the interest rate on what he owed wouldn't be as high. So he took a loan from his credit union. They paid you know, the car dealership. That's where he sent it back to. But he still owed, like I said, that $5,000, balance that he had to just pay until he paid it off. He's glad he did it. I mean, he was bitter in the beginning because, you know, whatever. But, you know, I told him, I'm like, you know, it's either, I don't know if you guys remember, but his car note was like $900 a month, a full mortgage. That did not include insurance. And then his insurance was like, you know, another, I don't even know. But he was paying like literally a mortgage a month. He had one of those Yukon Denalis, you know, like those big cars, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
And it's also the reason he ended up owing is because when you voluntarily give up your car, the dealership or the lender, whoever owns it, is going to try and sell it. And
yes.
if they can't sell it at enough value, to cover your outstanding loan, then you'll basically owe the balance, right?
Yes. But here's the thing. I'm assuming she's not late. So let me not say for sure that the voluntary repossession is gonna affect your credit, because a lot of times people do voluntary repossessions because they've missed, and I didn't hear her say that she hasn't missed any payments, correct?
It doesn't sound like it, but the repo itself, that will go on your credit report. Like
Yeah.
it's like your missed payments would, but also just like the fact that you repoed it. But honestly, it's a trade-off. Like if you feel like you're getting close to the point where you're going to start missing payments, that would end up your credit too. So it's almost like, you know, it's a lesser of two evils thing. I mean, you ultimately should do what's best for your finances moving forward, and if that means giving up the car, take the
And
hit.
sometimes I say sometimes it's like you have to take the little L so you don't have to take the big L later. 'Cause there are moments as an adult where either way you're taking the L. You know, like L as in loss, 'cause some of y'all are like, "What?" You know, so either way you're gonna take a loss. So you have to sometimes ask yourself, like, well, which loss is less of a loss? And, you know, it might be, you know, giving your car back, paying off whatever that balance is that wasn't able to be recouped from the sale of your car, and then rebuilding. Like, you know, credit honestly is not the hardest thing to rebuild. It's just making on-time payments. If you can pay off a credit card in full every month by swiping Netflix on it or something, that's going to help tremendously. And then you'll be back versus dragging out. Like having a car that you really can't afford to the point where you actually can't afford it, and then you're late, and now it's not a voluntary repossession, it's just a repossession because you haven't made payments.
Yep. She mentions refinancing her auto loan, and that could be a solution, especially if the payments are so high that she's struggling with them. And I don't know exactly what her APR is, but it sounds like her credit was pretty poor. Maybe she thinks she's going to get a better interest rate. She says her credit score is going to be 100 points higher soon. But my thoughts on refinancing is often when people refinance their auto loans, they're tempted to draw out the repayment period. Because if you extend your loan over a longer period of time, your monthly payments will go down. But you have to think about how much interest rate you're adding to the cost of that loan over time. And it may temporarily improve your cash flow, and that could be fine, you know, but you have to then think, are you really saving money each month?
Over
No,
time,
because it's very likely that you're just adding to your cost by spreading it out over many months. So as best you can, just try to get the, you know, the bet all of the ducks in a row, like where you have a payment you can afford at a decent interest rate, and not a crazy long repayment term, to do that, so that you're not giving the bank any more money than you absolutely have to in
And just
interest.
remember, like moving forward, getting a car, honestly, I've never had. Well, when I was in college, my dad got us like a lease. So I guess that's the closest to like a new car that I've had. But I've never owned a brand new car that the best way to go. Like, I'll never ever get a brand new car. Instead, you can, I get it that you're like, I don't want to, there's a different, everybody thinks like you got a used car has to be like a putt-putt, you know, like a lemon, then I have to get a new car. There's something in between. You can get a car that's 2 years old. That's what I have now. Well, when I got it, and it was certified pre-owned, meaning that they brought it up to speed as a new car. And what's so great about that is that certified pre-owned means that there's typically a warranty, and it ranges. I would say what I typically see is like 100,000 miles, or like 6 years, or sometimes 10 years. So what that means is like my husband now, his car was making some noise. So he too has a certified pre-owned car. And it was making some noise, dropped it off at the dealership. They gave him a loaner and they're like, oh, it's the gasket and the da da blah, 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 whatever. He's going to pay nothing because it's certified pre-owned. That means all of those things are covered. And they've certified that for I think it's 6 years up to 100,000 miles. And so he still has like 4 more years on it. And his car only has 30,000 miles. So 70,000 miles or 4 more years, whatever comes first. Anything that has to do with like the interior of the car, that things that are like covered by the warranty, which is most things, then it's not like if he gets a flat tire, he has to pay for that, obviously. He doesn't have to pay for that. And so that's what I would suggest to people. Certified pre-owned is like my fave because you get to take the edge off of depreciation by not getting a brand new car, but you still get the flavor of a brand new car because your car is typically a year or two or max 3 years old, but you've got a warranty that really covers your car fully.
That's an incredible warranty.
I can't remember. It's either 6 years. I think it might be 6 years, not 10 years. But I have seen that 10 years, but I think it's 6 years certified, 6 years up to, I want to say 100,000 miles, but I don't remember exactly. But like, the reason why I came up is because literally today he was like, I had to drop off the car. I was making some noise. And I was like, well, what did they say? He said they were telling him this and this and this and that. He was like, okay, whatever. And he was like, you know, I was like, you know, what do you have to pay? He's like, I just asked him to do an oil change. So I just have to pay for the oil change. And I was like, cha-ching. That's why I love me a certified pre-owned.
Yeah, that's an amazing warranty. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much for your question. Let's take one more. This one comes from an Instagram user who'd like to remain anonymous. She says, I recently found out I'm pregnant and I was wondering about starting a baby savings fund. Do you guys think this is necessary? If so, how much money should be saved before baby gets here? We have $10,000 saved in an emergency fund and plan to pay at least $30,000 in loans before the baby arrives. Our money is being stretched thin with a new house, loans, etc., but we're trying to get our life together. Thanks, you too. Love listening to you. Ooh, girl. I can identify. Mm-hmm. So you got $10,000 saved. That's awesome. You got a plan to pay off $30,000 in loans before the baby arrives. That is also awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Me not being a financial planner, what do I think is important? I think it's important that you guys focus on problems in front of you right now, which obviously the loans and paying off debt is a form of savings, to be honest. At the same time, though, $10,000 isn't it's not a bad start for an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if your cost of living is such that really is something like, you know, a year's worth of monthly expenses or a half a year or whatever, it's not a bad start at all. It really comes down to take a look at what it takes you guys to live. This is what my financial planner told me to do, add in any additional cost for the child. So kind of do a rough estimate of things like food and, oh my God, thousands of diapers and childcare should you need childcare the first year, and add that to your monthly, you know, essentials in terms of like, here's what we need to live. And then multiply that by 12 months. And she said, when you have a kid, she really encourages people to have a fund saved for a full year. And for us, that was a certain number. For you guys, it might be a little bit different. That being said, you know, $10,000 is a good start. I want to say paying off your debt is just going to make you feel so much more prepared for the baby. This year I told you guys, you know, we had a 0% interest credit card that we used for a lot of stuff for the house that we were chipping it. We had a plan to chip it away, but as soon as I got pregnant, that card drove me nuts. I hated it. And I was not happy until that card was done. We finished it like 6 months early. And it just gave me peace of mind to have that out of the way. I don't have a 529 plan set up. I don't have an investment fund for my future child at all. We're focusing on increasing our emergency fund to factor in the additional cost of childcare, which we hopefully won't have to pay for next year, but for 2020. And that's the focus for now, just that cash fund. And I think, you know, I think I have time. I'm not putting so much pressure on myself to have an investment fund set up. Maybe I'll start one just so that the grandparents can start contributing to it. But I would be more worried about the fund that will support our family if the worst happens, you know, if our income goes away. So we won't have to rely on credit cards and other loans and all the fancy and, you know, investment funds and stuff that can come a little bit later. It'll be fine. That's my philosophy, but I'm not a
And
financial
honestly, it
planner.
doesn't have to be fancy, right? Because like one of the things I'm like looking into, like I'm like, you know, like a simple target date fund for like your, you know, like this is like a so not for like currently for the baby, but like if you're like, you know what, we want to put aside $100 a month, and you know, target date funds usually target date funds are typically for like retirement, but they don't have to be. Right. So you can do just a regular investment target date fund for your child. So you're like, oh, my child is 1 or 2 or 10 or whatever. And then you choose the target date. And usually they're in like, usually the, like, say it's like Vanguard, they'll have the target date. They'll actually say 2065, 2070. So usually it's like 5 year increments. And so you'll say, like, okay, maybe the target date fund, you're wanting it for college. So you add, you know, your child is 1, so you're like, okay, in 18 years or 15 years or whatever, you know, I want to have access to this money. But not even I want access, because if it's a regular investment account, you can always have access. But what it does is that, you know, you can put money in there monthly or when, however often that you want. And what's so great about a target date fund is that it rebalances itself at least once a year, based upon the age of the person. Well, not so much the age of the person, but of when the actual target date is. Because the closer you get to the target date, the less risky your investments get. So in the beginning, if your target date is 20 years away, you're likely going to be more heavily invested into stocks. And the closer you get to the target date, it's probably going to be closer and more heavily invested into bonds. But you don't have to worry about all that. You're just putting your $200 a month in, and it's going to invest for you and balance itself for you. And by the time your kid is 15 or 18 or whatever, you have like this money that you've set aside, and it's done better than a savings account. And you didn't have to worry about like shifting around investments, because it's done it for you. So I tell people, putting money in a target date fund is just as easy as putting money in a savings account. So why not just do that? And, you know, but that's for, like I said, for long-term growth and investment for your baby.
And the thing with the 529 plan to remember is that, you know, you can only use those expenses for education. You can now use it to pay for K through 12. Like if you want to send it to a private school, it can help pay for that tuition. But still, like if your kid doesn't go to college, you have to find another way to use that money for education. You can't. That's the only way. You can transfer it to another child, and it's kind of anyway. So that's the downside. So I agree. I mean, if you're going to try and invest, you could just open an IRA, you know, or a brokerage account or whatnot, and start investing that way, for your kid. There's a lot of good articles out there on like pros and cons of, you know, a Roth IRA versus a 529 plan, and I'll try and share some links in the show notes for you guys.
Yeah, I'm so nervous about 529 plans, right? Because I'm just like, oh, what if my kid? I mean, even though I know you can use it for like education now, like, you know, but I'm like, what if my, you know, who knows what college is going to be
Am I
by the time?
selfish for thinking that? Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
Am I selfish for thinking all we do is interrupt each other? What am I talking about? We just like talk over each other the whole time. Anyway, politely, I part of me is like, I'd rather, like, isn't my kid going to be a genius? Won't they get scholarships? Like, you know, I figured out how to pay for school. I part of me is sort of like, I'm not so worried about, you know, completely financing. I'm not. I just won't completely finance college education. I mean, there are other, I just know there's so many ways, or hopefully there will still be ways for to you know, subsidize the cost of education if you get good grades and you look for scholarship opportunities. Like I don't want to put that pressure all on me. And part of the, you know, the way that I was raised, you know, I grew up financially insecure for my parents. Like I was really worried all the time about my parents' finances. I still am. It's something that still worries me, and I feel like I need to be financially, it drives a lot of my motivation for being financially independent. Part of me, like when I think about what I want to give my child, the gift to them that they probably will never appreciate, but I will because of what I went through, I want to give them the knowledge that mom and dad are okay. Like the knowledge that we are financially sound. They don't have to worry about us. All they have to do is worry about themselves. And so when I'm approaching my future financially, and I kind of talk to my financial advisor about this and my therapist a little bit, but I want to make sure that my husband, like, we're right, you know, that our finances are in good shape, that our lives are rich and whole. And it maybe it makes me sound selfish, and maybe I'm not articulating it right, but do you kind of get what I'm saying? Like, I want to set a really good financial foundation for us so that my kid can succeed on their own merit and not have to worry about us later. Am I a terrible parent now?
No, because honestly, I feel like that's how Superman feels. Because here's the thing, to me, the best gift a parent can give a child is not to be financially dependent on them when they get older.
Yeah, and I think
For
the only
real.
reason I'm successful is because I knew I did not have a damn safety net. There was no net waiting for me. I had to do it, and I don't. And kids who grow up with that sense of comfort that there's going to be someone, you know, to pick them up, or some money to fall back on, or some inheritance, I just don't think they try as hard. Maybe that's a bad stereotype, but that's where my head's at. What do you think?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I'm really, I was always really, it was good to know. I mean, up until like really like recently that I didn't have to worry about my parents financially, that my mom retired like a little earlier than anticipated. And then there was a little bit of stress there because we were like, okay, so how are we going to help them manage? Because here's the thing, your kid figuring out college when they're 18, 19, 20, they have many years ahead of them. If by the time they're in college, you should be winding down and figuring out your own retirement. And if they're now thinking like, well, how am I going to manage my life? Now I also got to take care of my parents financially. No, put your mask on first. I really, if you had to choose between your child's college education and your retirement, I say hands down always your retirement, because college educations can be figured out a myriad of ways. Your retirement, you know, you don't want to be like, I've got 5 years left. We got to make a miracle happen. Like, no. Put your mask on first, just like they tell you on a flight.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah. So just making sure that you're financially sound. And to the listener who asked about the baby fund, you know, they have this debt that's weighing on them. You know, setting your kid up so that you guys don't have debt is sort of a gift in and of itself. And at least you know you have a decent enough emergency fund to handle, you know, a few setbacks. And it's not like you're completely being vulnerable. So paying off that debt and then trying to replenish or to keep adding to your emergency fund to the point where you know, get to a get it beefed up now that you have the additional expense of a kid coming. I think that's a fair priority versus putting money into a college fund. You know, you can, it's on my list, that would probably come third. But if you're truly worried about it, you can do what I did, which is, you know, chat with a financial advisor and they can kind of help honestly verify what you already know sometimes, but point you in the right direction for the near future.
So now it's time to boost and break with all our BA family. We gonna boost, we gonna break. What we gonna do, Mandy?
You always set me up. Even though we know Tiffany also rhymes.
I know. That's true. Well, I don't want to say what we gonna do, Tiffany, because it's like, you know, I'm me.
So convenient, so convenient.
No, I'm trying to think. I got another brand ambition running. What was it? Girl, what I'm telling you in these streets, they're loving this podcast. It's so awesome for people to run up and be like, oh, I love you. I love Mandy. I love the podcast. Or they'll say something podcasty. And I'm like, you listen? Because I always feel like it's just me and you talking. And I'm like, oh, people listen. So that's been
They're
happening a
actually
lot lately. So,
they're out
and
there.
yeah, literally, a woman ran up to me and she gave me a hug and was like, ooh, I forgot, I forgot. And that's how I knew instantly she was like a listener.
So,
Which I
are
love.
you saying that you love hugs now and you will accept them on the street? So
I
that's
don't
what you're
love.
saying.
I don't hate hugs. I don't hate hugs because dream catchers are not creepy. I have to say, I haven't met anyone that's made me feel like, girl. But women tend not to be creepy, thankfully. So no, I don't hate hugs. I mean, hugs are not my fave, but you guys are definitely warming me up. And honestly, I do love the love. That's one thing I do love. It's just, I love how much, you know, you guys are like, and it'll be funny because I'm like, and this one's for Mandy. I'm like, okay.
I'll take a hug,
So,
just don't rub my bump.
yes, that is so rude.
Cannot
So if
rub
you
the
don't
bump.
mind, I can go first if you want me to.
That's fine. I'll go first, just to be fair. It's cool. I don't know. All I can think, and I was trying to tell Tiffany this, all I can think right now, and I knew after the baby shower, it would kind of be like, it was like the thing I was looking forward to. And then as soon as it ended, it would be like the other side of the baby shower would be feel so much closer to the fact that the baby's coming soon. So I'm down to 5 weeks, and I am, something has, I've done all this prep, and I keep trying, I've been done all this prep work. I've been seeing my therapist who specializes with new moms. I've been, working on my transition plan for work, and something about this week, I just feel like I don't have enough time. Like I'm starting to get a little frazzled. I'm starting to get anxious. I'm texting my husband, like he's like, "What's wrong with you? Relax." And I'm just like, "We don't have the right bassinet yet. We don't have this. We don't have that." And I don't, maybe it's just, I don't know, the fact that I'm far along in my pregnancy, but I don't know how to, I need to get a grip. I need to get a massive grip. So my boost, or sorry, my break is just for my own anxiety. And I was just trying to give myself a pep talk after I got off work and be like, listen, if you were a girlfriend, you would remind them of all the steps they've taken to be prepared for this baby, and you would not be freaking out like you are. But I am. It's like, and I was at a meeting today at work, and it was this like women and leadership at my company kind of powwow, and I kind of went off on them because I felt like I'm not super supported with all the maternity leave stuff at my company. Like it's a little convoluted, it's a little confusing, and I'm looking at my calendar and I'm like, I only have a month left to figure out my benefit plan and all that kind of stuff. And maybe it was probably good for me to give them that feedback, but it's just little things like that are just not like totally figured out. And I don't have a pediatrician yet, and I know I was supposed to do that by now. And anyway, I'm sure this is just like coming off as rambling, but I'm going a little nutso. So maybe you guys can help me. And if you were going to give me like, what are the, like the 5 things I can do this week that will make me feel less insane, like less ill prepared
Oh,
for
that's why I got you that
having a
mom
baby?
box.
You
But
did
I was
that.
like
Mom box is legit. I've had moms, I had a couple of moms visiting me, like friends of mine, and they were like, this is perfect for new moms.
I was so, you have no idea. I was like researching, researching. I was asking, I had asked all the unicorn moms because we have like Camon just had a baby less than a year ago. Tamara's baby is like two. We have like, so I was just asking all these moms and they were giving me like a list of things like, girl, nipple cream and da da da
Yeah.
da da da. And I vaguely remember like a year ago, I was like, wait, there was like a box that had like all of this stuff that you wouldn't think that you knew, because I was like, you're gonna get enough onesies, enough, like, because I bought this cute, and I'm still gonna send it to you, but I bought this cute little like elephant blanket with a little elephant attached to this all, and I'm like, okay, but Manny's gonna have 10,000 of these like cute little things, but like what about for you?
What
And
about an
like
ice pack for my vagina?
for real. And
What
I
about
was
that? Because I opened that and I was like, yes, I will be split in half. You're right. I do need this vagina shaped ice pack. It was
so excited
amazing.
when I was like, wait. And so I Googled like mom survival kit, first time mom, and then mom box popped up, and that's when I remembered. I remember this is what it was. So I got you one, and Taylor, you should have gotten it by now. Taylor, well, you know Taylor Kathleen. Do you know she's pregnant?
Wait, Taylor who?
Taylor, our Taylor
Who
from
Taylor?
Elevate. She wrote for
Oh, Taylor Gordon? Oh, congrats, Taylor.
yeah.
Hey.
She's due about around the same time as
She
you.
lives
She
in
just had her baby.
Atlanta, I think.
Yes, but I think she's moving to Germany. I don't know. It's a lot. Anyway,
Okay.
I sent Taylor a mom box as well because so many moms were like, I remember when Drina had Gabe and my sister Carol had just had I forget, whoever came first, but they were like, I remember her saying, "Girl, you're gonna need nipple cream. Girl, you like all these random things that you're like, what?" And so I just was excited to get something that was going to be for you because there's going to be plenty of things for baby and things that were
Right?
really going to be
Thank
like,
you.
yeah, that were really going to be for real, that were really going to be like helpful. Like that you're like, I never even thought of this. Like like I didn't realize like extra hospital underwear and all these kind of things. So I was like, yay, I'm so glad you liked it.
It's perfect. And I was looking on the website. They have one for people who are planning a C-section because they have all kinds of other issues. No, I really, I, it's a, it's a, it was such a sweet gift. Thank you. You're
Like, I felt
right.
so good. Andy got sent me some really beautiful flowers. Honestly, they were gorgeous.
Oh, good.
Like,
It's hard because you don't get to see them. So, I went local. It was a florist in Newark.
No, it was perfect. They were so beautiful that I ended up for the party making them like a centerpiece and then getting other similar bouquets. I used that as a picture, like, I want four other bouquets for the tables. So they were like beautiful. Because I love autumn colors. So I still love that stuff in here. I know you guys are like, okay.
No, you need to hear me complain. But seriously, though, if you have any tips or you just want to tell me, girl, I was freaking out too and I survived. I feel like we're prepared, but it's coming, man. 5 weeks, five short weeks. Or as everyone has been telling me, I feel like everyone who ever delivered early has been telling me their stories this week. And I'm like, can you please not tell me these? I've never entertained the idea of delivering early, but now I'm freaking out that I'm just going to go into labor, like on the flight home tomorrow. And then what am I going to do?
No, I'll say this. So just remember this, because I remember when I went to go visit my sister and she, you know, I had to tell her, okay, so remember that your husband is also a new parent. So just keep that in mind.
What does that mean, that they can help too?
No, but meaning that, like, because she was snappish and I was like, girl, I was like, be nice.
Oh, at him. Oh, okay. Yeah. He did have the audacity to get sick this weekend. And I was like, mother, what is wrong with you? Go get, first of all, hasn't gotten his flu shot yet. Should have done that already. Second of all, had the audacity to get ill. I had to take care of him this weekend. And I'm like, how dare you? Can't you microwave your own soup? We don't have a bassinet yet.
So just remember that like, it's going to seem like it's me against the world. And it's like, well, you know, you're not the only new parent in the mix. And that, you know, that it's also scary and stressful and everything for him too. And it's hard because, you know, especially if you're going to breastfeed, it's really hard because, you know, like, baby is like, I don't know who that guy is. You with the boobs, come here. And so it's that part is like a little bit difficult because, you know, men want to help, but there's only so much when babies are like, do you have boobs? Okay, then.
Yeah, it's all on you. Is this with me? Am I feeling better after this or
what? I'm just saying that it's going to be easy to be frustrated with him, but just understanding that both of you are new parents, that you're not the only new parent. And so
you're that was right. I can't verbally abuse him. Got it. I will try.
Oh, hey, sis, could I holler at you for a minute? I was just like, okay, duly noted. But now, honestly, it's so awesome, like, to see them. Like, they're so, like, we visited them. They're so, you know, and like I said, in the beginning, everyone's figuring out. The baby's like, who am I? Where am I? Parents are like, who am I? Where am I? And then it gels. And then one day you're like, we got this. So, yeah.
Oof, so, okay. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest.
And honestly, you're going to be so in love, honestly. Like, my nieces, my nephews, I'm like, oh my God. When they leave, I'm like, don't leave. Like, I can't imagine, like, the love of your own child. You're going to be, like, so in love. So that will outweigh any other feeling of, like, fear and this and that and that, you know. But, yeah.
Blistered nipples.
Yeah, well, did it have nipple chapstick in there or whatever that thing is?
Nipple cream? Yes. Thank you very much for that. I put it on my registry. People don't want to touch that, apparently.
I was like, I'm getting you nipple cream.
Thank you. My boobs say thank you in advance.
All right, so I am going to boost as well because, like, I can't remember what the question was the last time we recorded, but I remember our answer was about thinking audaciously and thinking big and practicing speaking the thing you want out loud. So I spoke something out loud during our last recording, and it, like, came true. And I was like, whoa. So I didn't even remember. So what it was, I can't remember, like I said, whatever the question was. And I think, like I said, the solution was, I said, say it out loud, speak it out loud, think audaciously. And I said, my big, crazy, wild, audacious goal is I have a children's book, Molly Moore, that I've written. The illustrations are done. We're just finishing up the graphic design. So my big, audacious goal was Molly Moore, my children's book that I just finished writing, my first one, for it to be a $1 billion business, for it to have its own, for Molly to have her own TV show, merchandise, a book series, just like for basically Molly Moore to be the next Dora. That's my big, crazy, audacious goal. So I said it as an exercise to the BA listener that wrote in their question about, I guess, how to think big or something to that effect. Don't you know somebody, I won't say the network, I'm sure she's listening. Hey girl, don't you know somebody from a huge, 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 I don't think it's cable. I don't know what they call it because I don't watch TV. But a huge network reached out, said, heard about your book, interested in talking about, you know, potentially developing into a show. And I was like, wait, what? Book, sight unseen, book unread, all and it was just such a good lesson that I'm here. I am trying to teach a lesson to the BA listener, and I'm learning a lesson for myself, because the truth is, I said it about Molly Moore, but I don't know if I really believed it. I was just saying it. And what it did was I was learning the lesson myself. And that's really my boost, in that thinking and speaking and acting audaciously really does work. And we as women especially have to practice it, because we are really taught to remain small, to be polite, to take up as little space as possible in this world. And you don't have to. There's nothing wrong if you're like, you want something big and huge and ginormous. You never know who's listening. So, I mean, honestly, like literally she hit me up in my IG DMs and literally said, heard you on Brown Ambition, heard about your children's book. I love financial education and what you're doing. Let's talk about what it might look like to develop that into a show. And I'm like, is this real life? Is this real life?
I love it. So you never know who's listening when you speak out loud to, and we have, you know, it's kind of like the importance of networking. Well, we have this audience and we have this show, you never know who's listening. So, you know, by speaking, you just throw it out there, and you just never know what's going to come back to you. So I love that that's the message.
Yeah. So that was just really great. Honestly, I just felt really good about that. And I was like, I had to share, because I wasn't expecting that. And just now I'm all excited. And so one of the things I've learned after 10 years of business is typically when an opportunity comes up like this, like something big, it's usually the initial thing is not the thing. It's like the thing before the thing. That's what I call it. Meaning like it's there to say, get ready. So it might take a year before this relationship develops into something, or maybe it'll be another network. I don't know. But I do know that rarely when something big comes up, is it the initial thing, that it's usually the thing to say, hey, Tiffany, this thing is coming. This is a reminder. Get ready now. So it's just like, you know, and that's how I've learned sometimes to manage disappointments, because sometimes, you know, something will happen and it's like, oh, it didn't happen. And that's not true. That thing was there to prepare me for what was coming forth in the future. And so just keeping that in mind too, that oftentimes, you know, it's easy to get disappointed when you don't get what you want in your first go round, not realizing that it wasn't there for that. It was merely just like a flare gun being flared up to say, hey, here I am. The thing that you're wishing and wanting and working toward is going to happen, but I need you to like get in alignment now.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. I don't care. I'm having a boy. He's going to be a Molly Moore fan. I want the t-shirt. I want the backpack, the stuffed animal, all that.
I can't wait. Did I ever show? I showed you Molly Moore, but I haven't showed you the cover. I'm going to
South. I've seen it with a little fro. Yeah. So cute.
Honestly, I just can't wait. You know, you just know, I just feel it in my bones that like, I want like, you know, it's not just for little brown girls. It's really just for kids in general to start laying the foundation, and for parents to have the tools and resources. Like I literally was just adding like literally there's a section and it says, hey, adult. And I break down based upon the core curriculum standards. These are the nationwide standards that have been created by educators to say, hey, every school in the nation has to adhere to these standards, that by first grade, kids should know this. By kindergarten, kids should know this. So I aligned it with those standards. So and I tell you that this book is going to teach rhyming and counting and all these other wonderful things. And then I say, here are some questions to ask your child. And here's how to turn that question into a writing activity, a reading activity, a speaking activity. So I really take like Teacher Tiffany really shines at the back of the book. So it's not just a book for you. This is a tool to really stretch and grow your child. So I'm really excited about that component.
Can't wait. When's the pub date? Do you have is it next year?
It's tentatively January 2020. So we should be going to print in like a couple of weeks. So if we go to print and it looks good, then we could just print them, which I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. I specifically chose a woman owned is it women owned? Yes, women owned publishing company. Because someone asked me in my DMs, it's Wise Inc. Shout out to Dara. And what I love about Wise Inc. is that it's the perfect hybrid of what I wanted. Traditional publishing, they typically own your stuff, but then self-publishing means you have to do everything. I wanted a publishing company that was somewhere in the between. And Lovey, my friend Lovey, shout out to Lovey though for Munaluchi Bridal Magazine cover. She looks amazing. Go to her Insta. Anyway, so she's the one who told me about Wise Inc. And it's a hybrid in that I get ownership, so I have to pay for all my things, but then they help me with distribution and help me with like layout and all these other things that a traditional publisher would, but I just pay a la carte. So it's the perfect, for what I'm looking for this book, it's the perfect blend of personal responsibility, but professional assistance. So if you're looking for that kind of mix, then Wise Inc. is awesome.
So excited, 2020.
I know.
All right. Well, that is the show, guys. Thank you for listening. And to those of you who pointed out there was a glitch in an episode or two ago, you guys missed some of Tiffany's rant against Snoop Dogg. I'm going to fix that right now. So go back. I think it's episode 193. Go back and hear her read Snoop Dogg. I'm so sorry because it is well worth the listen. I will fix that right away.
I love that. My rant against Snoop Dogg.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.